This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa usalli wa usallimu ala al-mab'uuth rahmatan lil alameen. Nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa man ihtada bihadihi wa qtada bisunnatihi ila yawmiddin wa ba'd. فقد قال جل وعلا في كتابه المجيد وفرقانه الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم واذكر في الكتاب إسماعيل إنه كان صادق الوعد وكان رسولا نبيا وقال تعالى واذكر في الكتاب إبراهيم إنه كان صديقا نبيا صدق الله العظيم. Honorable scholars, respected brothers, elders and the esteemed listeners of Radio Islam International, as humans, every one of us, without exception, by our very nature and temperament, we love to be appreciated, acknowledged, and occasionally complimented. I often say, it is easier to help a grateful human daily than an ungrateful human occasionally. A person who acknowledges, appreciates, reciprocates, you don't mind doing the man a favor daily. But a man who doesn't reciprocate and acknowledge, it's a tall order to help him once a month also. A Sahabi came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I often engage in prayer motivated by the pleasure of Allah. But when I perform my prayer, people compliment me. And while I enjoy the praises. Look at how candid, how honest they were. I pray for Allah, I prostrate for Allah. People make the odd comment, mashallah, brilliant, amazing, great salah, and I enjoy it. Is this a whisper of my ego or is this fine? The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Tilka ajilu bushra al-mu'min. That is the advanced glad tidings of a believer in this world, that people are pronouncing profound and positive statements when you're not motivated by that praise. And let me sound a word of caution here, the difference between the attribute of a prophet and the trait of a devil. A prophet is one who finds it within himself the courage to acknowledge others even if they are their juniors. So between the two prophets, Musa and Harun, Musa alayhi salam was a more senior prophet of Allah, but his brother Harun was more articulate. So he was quite open and bold. He said, "Wa akhi Harun huwa afsahu minni lisana." My brother Harun is much more profound and articulate in speech. But when it came to the trait of the devil, he said, Ana khayru min. I am more superior and noble to the devil. We live in a world dominated by the passion of fame. Everybody wants to become famous. And social media has only escalated it. It's all about how many hits, how many retweets, how many followers congratulate the man as if that is the real world. Today we speak about a man and from his life we derive a lesson that if you and I and the thousands that converge and congregate and many that hear over the airwaves, if we can internalize and imbibe, and I'm going to change strides today. In the lead up to this day we've heard in the Jummah lectures and at this very venue we've heard the actual essence of the slaughtering. So I'm changing focus but on the life of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Amongst his many supplications, one of his du'as were, وَجَعَلْ لِي لِسَانَ صِدْقٍ فِي الْآخِرِينَ. Oh my Lord, post my demise, grant me great fame and recognition. Let people rave and speak about me. Let people talk about my legacy. Decades, centuries have lapsed. And Ibrahim is so alive. He is so alive that even if you close your eyes and you go to Mecca, every brick of the Kaaba will stay you and it will be Ibrahim. He is so alive that there's no other topic that suits this day other than the life of Ibrahim alayhi salam. The Arabic poet said, قَدْ مَاتَ قَوْمٌ وَمَا مَاتَتْ مَكَارِمُهُمْ وَعَاشَ قَوْمٌ وَهُمْ فِي النَّاسِ أَمْوَاتُ. Some people have died a physical death, but their legacy has kept them alive for centuries. And others are physically alive, but daily thousands are wishing for their death. You make the call who's alive and who's dead. Some have died a physical death, but after centuries also they are alive. And others are alive and people are praying, hey, so-and-so died. Yo, it took him long, man. I've been praying for that man's death from a long time. So the Quran says regarding the legacy of Ibrahim, وَآتَيْنَاهُ أَجْرَهُ فِي الدُّنْيَا. وَآتَيْنَاهُ أَجْرَهُ فِي الدُّنْيَا. We compensated him in this world. And the remuneration of Akhirah is separate. The Quran is replete with the accolades, the achievements and the feat of Ibrahim alayhi salam. 63 different verses across 25 different chapters. Let me just speak on two verses and then focus more exclusively on my topic. Allah makes reference to Ibrahim in one verse, إِذْ قَالَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ أَسْلِمْ. This is a synopsis of the submission of Ibrahim in the Quran. A father tells his son, or a brother tells a fellow sibling, you'll do me a favor. He's like, it depends what you ask me. I can't give you a blanket yes. Husband tells his wife, if I tell you something, will you get offended? Well, it just depends what you're going to say. I can't just say, yeah, I don't know. No, but now he's itching to say. Husband is itching to say something, or vice versa. He wants to say it. He wants to spell it out. And his wife is like, depends how it's going to go. I make ifs, you make buts. Allah told Ibrahim, will you surrender? He didn't say, it depends what you ask Allah. It depends what you tell me. I've surrendered Allah. Must I leave my child, I'm happy. Must I put the knife on my child, I'm happy. And let me make a statement here. The ulama say the most supreme sacrifice in the annals of human history is not the killing of oneself, but it is the claiming of the life of one son. If hypothetically Allah had to tell Ibrahim, kill yourself, scholars tell us that's milder between the two. Although there are very few to oblige to that command. The verse of the Quran, the fifth juz, وَلَوْ أَنَّا كَتَبْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَنِقْتُلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. And if we had to ordain upon them to claim their own lives, very few would have surrendered. But if Allah had to impose this command on Ibrahim, relatively, comparatively, it was milder. Why? The thought of killing yourself is a painful exercise. But once you slit your throat and you claim your life, it's over. But the thought of killing your child is a painful reflection from the time you receive the injunction, you execute the injunction, and the years beyond. Hence the most supreme sacrifice. So today I share with you two things from the life of Ibrahim and Ismail. My opening comments, everybody is searching for fame and recognition. Allah gave Ibrahim alayhi salam fame like no other fame, beyond our eye and our mind. Two things with which the Quran identifies father and son. وَذْكُرْ فِي الْكِتَابِ إِبْرَاهِيمِ. And O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell them about Ibrahim. Everything of him was amazing, but if the Quran highlights something as salient, he was a very, very honest man. He was a very, very truthful person. Honesty is out of the window today, my brother. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ الصِّدْقَ طَمَأْنِينَ. Speak the truth and instantly you'll see calmness in your body. It will give tranquility to your body. وَإِنَّ الصِّدْقَ يَهْدِي إِلَى الْبِرِّ. And honesty will lead to virtue, and virtue will take you to paradise. وَإِنَّ الْكِذْبَ رِيبَ. And live a life of hypocrisy, of inconsistency, of lies and deceiving and deceiting, camouflaging and disguising. And then what happens? Instantly there's anxiety, there's depression, there's uneasiness. And then it takes you to vice, and ultimately it hurls you into hell. The scholars tell us, we appreciate the profound nature of a command and the gravity of an offense in relation to where Allah features it in the Quran. A bit academic language, but let me put flesh to the theory. وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّا. And your Lord has ordained that none be worshipped but Him. وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. And be dutiful to your parents. So the scholars say, the importance of servitude to parents is so profound that Allah couples its mention with monotheism, the doctrine of one Allah. When Allah is speaking of super important things, worship me, that's the time Allah says, be kind to your parents. When it comes to the utterance of Allah, Surah Hajj, 2 million Muslims gather annually and may Allah accept everyone's Hajj. But how many of us are honest? How many of us are sincere? I'm only focusing on this attribute of Ibrahim, and Allah will give us respect in this life and in the life to come. The life of Ismail, if time permits, one quality from his life as well. A brother said to me, we were about to strike a deal. My partner took me to the Kaaba. He swore allegiance. He took an oath in front of the Kaaba. I'm going to be honest in my deal. I'll pay you. He says, a decade has lapsed. The man hasn't given me a cent. A white lie in front of the Kaaba. When it comes to lies, the Quran says, فَجْتَنِبُ الرِّجْسَ مِنَ الْأَوْثَانِ. وَاجْتَنِبُوا قَوْلَ الزُّورِ. Abstain from idol worship. And coupled with that, Allah says abstain from speaking a lie. Allah pairs lies up with idol worship, the most despicable, deplorable, detestable offense. The hadith is in Bukhari Sharif. The Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam writes a letter to the Roman Emperor Hiraql. At that time, Abu Sufyan and his caravan were there. The Roman Emperor asked the people present, any one of you knows this man, Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Abu Sufyan said, Ana aqrabun nasi nasaban bihadha ar-rajul. I know this man very close. He says to the translator, sit him down, I want to ask him and quiz him and engage him regarding the life of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. If we want to contextualize the nature of this interview, it is probably the biggest media house interviewing the most hostile infidel at the most sensitive moments in our history regarding the life of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Abu Sufyan spearheading every anti-Islamic campaign. Hiraql, the Roman emperor. The interview is regarding Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. What does Abu Sufyan say? Look at honesty, my brother. Wallahi lawla al-haya min an ya'thuru alayya kadhiban lakadhibtu anhu. That was the one day in my life I was tempted to lie, but I had to make one of two choices. This is a non-Muslim. By Allah, the 2 million that gather at the Kaaba, even if 1/10 of them gather, but they are honest in their dealings, sincere in their actions, the destiny of the Ummah would have been different. The landscape of the Ummah would have been very different. By Allah, I was tempted to lie so that the king is not impressed on the legacy of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But then I will have to contend with the stigma of a liar. And I'm afraid I cannot taint and blemish myself. Rather, the emperor is impressed and accepts Islam. And nobody refers to me as a liar. He started the interview. كَيْفَ نَسَبُهُ فِيكُمْ. Tell us about the lineage of this man, Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Abu Sufyan said, well, I must be honest. I don't like the man, but he has a very, very noble lineage. هُوَ فِينَا ذُو نَسَبٍ. Muhammad bin Abdullah bin Abdul Muttalib bin Hashim bin Abdul Manaf bin Qusay bin Kilab bin Murrah bin Ka'b bin Lu'ay bin Ghalib bin Fahr bin Malik bin Nadhar bin Kinana bin Khuzaymah bin Mudrika bin Ilyas bin Mudar bin Nazar bin Ma'ad bin Adnan. We don't learn the lineage and the ancestry of our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. هَلْ كَانَ مِنْ آبَائِهِ مِنْ مَلِكٍ. Was there a king or a monarch in his ancestry? No. أَشْرَافُ النَّاسِ اِتَّبَعُوهُ أَمْ ذُعَفَاؤُهُمْ. Who follows him? Is it the prominent and the elite or the simple? The simple people. هَلْ كُنْتُمْ تَتَّهِمُونَهُ بِالْكِذْبِ قَبْلَ أَنْ يَقُولَ مَا قَالَ. Did the man ever utter a lie once before Prophet would? He says, no, you know, I mean, I must be honest, he hasn't spoken a lie. Okay, well, then the interview is done. What do you mean the interview is done? If the man had not spoken a lie to fellow humans in 40 years, he's not going to get up one morning and start lying against Allah. If a man never spoke a lie for 40 years, what's going to tell him to get up? I'm convinced he's the Prophet. Hal yaghdir, does he deceive? Abu Sufyan said, this was the only niche I found I could infiltrate. This is how media can sensationalize. The truth is that Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam never deceived. But because there was this resentment and hostility in my heart, so I was manipulating and I was playing with the words and the semantics. So what I said, listen, the man hasn't yet deceived. Heaven knows what the future holds. Anyway, he said, if what you said is the truth, that man will rule over my land. لَتَجَشَّمْتُ لِقَاءَهُ. I will do everything within my reach to wash his feet. وَلَغَسَلْتُ عَنْ قَدَمَيْهِ. Abu Sufyan said, I exited from there. And I said, لَقَدْ أَمِرَ أَمْرُ بْنُ أَبِي كَبْشَ حَتَّى يَخَافَهُ مَلِكُ بَنِي الْأَصْفَرِ. Indeed, the faith of Muhammad has prospered that even the Roman emperors are trembling in their boots. Came the conquest of Mecca, I'm expediting. The very Abu Sufyan, due to his honesty, Allah blessed him with iman and he became a sahabi. The hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim. On the day of Qiyamah, mankind in its entirety will be subjected to three horrors. يَفْزَعُ النَّاسُ ثَلَاثَ فَزِعَاتٍ. The focus is the life of Ibrahim. The highlight is honesty. The outcome of that is recognition and fame in this world and in Akhirah. And if time permits, one quality of the life of Ismail alayhi salam. So people will come to Sayyidina Adam, listen, we're in a crisis. Can you ask Allah to start accountability? وَهَلْ أَخْرَجَكُمْ إِلَّا خَطِيئَةُ أَبِيكُمْ. Listen, try your luck elsewhere. I ate from the forbidden tree because of which I was expelled, and And subsequently my children and my offspring were expelled from Jannah. وَلَكِنْ إِتُوا نُوحًا Go to Nuh alayhi salam. The creation in its entirety, in the scores and the multitudes will come to Nuh alayhi salam. دَعَوْتُ اللَّهَ دَعْوَى I made one curse, the entire earth was wiped out. This is not my courage and my strength. Try your luck and go to Nuh alayhi salam. Then to Ibrahim alayhi salam. The entire creation will come to Ibrahim, the hadith of Bukhari. The man whom Allah said is Siddiq. He will say, listen, you people have come to me. And I appreciate you've presented the request. But I've spoken three lies in my life. On three instances I spoke a lie. I don't have the courage. And I will explain to you briefly. This is not a lie. It had a superficial flavor of a lie. It had an external flavor of a lie. But this great Ibrahim, alayhi salam, despite his many accolades, feats and achievement, he backsteps on the pretext of a supposed lie. You and I speak white lies, my brother. How will we fare before Allah? How will we present ourselves before Allah? What are the three lies or the three supposed lies of Ibrahim alayhi salam, because of which he will backstep? Inni saqim. The entire nation is going out for a festival. Ibrahim, join us, let's go. No, you know what, brothers, you guys carrying on, man. I'm not feeling good. I'm feeling unwell. The word Arabic, in the word saqim, in the Arabic language, means physically unwell. Whereas at that time, Sayyidina Ibrahim was physically sound, he was emotionally unwell. So, we're not distorting, fabricating, but yes, there are two different meanings. I am referring to emotional, emotional not feeling well, and they assuming it to be physically unwell. In Arabic, we refer to this as tawriya, dissimulation in English. When the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was going for hijrah, Abu Bakr was with him. There was a price on the head of Nabi alayhi salam. People told Abu Bakr, who's this man? He said, my guide. He's my guide. People thought he's guiding the path. Abu Bakr's reference meant he's guiding me to paradise. So that's fine. That is tawriya. Inni saqim. I'm sick. You guys carry on. They go. They go. In the interim, Ibrahim alayhi salam comes to the idols. And he breaks them up. Chops them into pieces. وَعَلَّقَ الْفَأْسَ فِي عُنُقِ الْكَبِيرِ And he hangs the axe on the big idol. When they return, قَالُوا مَنْ فَعَلَ هَذَا بِآلِهَتِنَا إِنَّهُ لَمِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ But who has the audacity to do this? Who has the audacity? This is ludicrous. This is preposterous. This is bizarre. Oh, there's a young boy, man. They call him Ibrahim. I don't know. يُقَالُ لَهُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ Some Ibrahim. Call this Ibrahim. And the Quran says, قَالُوا سَمِعْنَا فَتَنْ He was a young boy. He was a young boy. If only our youth can channel their youth objectively. Imam Ahmad says, حَدَّثَنَا هَيْثَمْ قَالَ حَدَّثَنَا إِسْمَعِيلُ بْنُ عَيَاشِ عَنْ عَبْدِ الرَّحْمَنِ بْنِ عَدِي الْبَهْرَانِ عَنْ يَزِيدِ بْنِ مَيْسَرَ أَنَّهُ قَالَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى يَقُولُ أَيُّهَا الشَّابُ التارك شهوته لي المتبذل شبابه من أجلي أنت عندي كبعض ملائكتي Imam Ahmad says, I heard from Haytham, who said, I heard from Ismail ibn Ayash, who said, I heard from Abdul Rahman ibn Adi al-Bahrani, who said, I heard from Yazid ibn Maysara. And Yazid ibn Maysara said, that Allah says, O young man, worship me occasionally, but restrain your ego. You and my malaika will rank equally in my eyes. Bring Ibrahim in front. Ibrahim is summoned and he's brought in front. أَأَنْتَ فَعَلْتَ هَذَا بِآلِهَتِنَا Ibrahim, we need to talk to you. This is not on. You didn't join us, and when we come back, the idols are broken. Put two and two together. Hang on. Have you been operating here, and did you do this? Look at the psychology of a Nabi. Look at the wisdom of a Nabi. Ibrahim alayhi salam said, wait, let's just hang on. Why don't you speak to your idols, man? Ask them first. Probably there was some mutual rivalry happening here, and the big man decided to dominate and take the stage. You can see the axes on his neck. Why are you asking me? Speak to them. The words of the Quran. فَاسْأَلُوهُمْ إِن كَانُوا يَنْتِقُونَ فَاسْأَلُوهُمْ Ask your idols. Now look at Ibrahim's wisdom, his vision, his fortitude. They like with a defeated dome. Ibrahim, you know when our gods are still not talking, except. Ibrahim, man, you're rubbing it in, man. These are the words of the Quran. لَقَدْ عَلِمْتَ ثُمَّ نُكِسُوا عَلَى رُؤُوسِهِمْ They drop their heads down. لَقَدْ عَلِمْتَ مَا هَؤُلَاءِ يَنْتِقُونَ Ibrahim, I mean, you don't need to rub it in, man. Our gods don't talk. Maybe one day they'll get there, but for now they don't speak. Ibrahim said, well, With one breath you say they don't talk, and with the other breath you still worship them. أُفِّلْ لَكُمْ أُفِّلْ لَكُمْ وَلِمَا تَعْبُدُونَ. Then woe be to you. You confess the feebleness of your deity, yet you prostrate to the same item, object, and ism. Where is your logic? Where is your sanity? Then Ibrahim alayhi salam said, بَلْ فَعَلَهُ كَبِيرُهُمْ هَذَا. This big idol, this big idol. And in the footnotes of Jalalain, it's written so beautifully. It's academic language. Those who appreciate Arabic will comprehend it. فَإِنَّ مَنْ لَا يَدْفَعُ عَنْ نَفْسِهِ الْفَأْسَ كَيْفَ يَدْفَعُ عَنْ عَابِدِهِ الْبَأْسَ. فَإِنَّ مَنْ لَا يَدْفَعُ عَنْ نَفْسِهِ الْفَأْسَ كَيْفَ يَدْفَعُ عَنْ عَابِدِهِ الْبَأْسَ. The idol that cannot take out an axe from its neck, where is it going to avert a tragedy from its supposed worshipper? So Ibrahim pointed to the idol, and he said, the idol did it. That was the second lie. Because the truth is, Ibrahim alayhi salam did it. Again, the scholars tell us this was a superficial lie. Let's not lose focus. We're speaking on the aspect of the honesty of Ibrahim. On the day of Qiyamah, he says, no, not me, not me. Allah referred to him as Halimun, Awwahun Munib. Halimun, tolerant. Awwahun, Imam Qurtubi says it has 15 meanings. Munib, one who repents to Allah perpetually. Kana Ummah, a nation in submission. Shakiran, grateful. We can just count and count and enumerate. So they refer to this as Isnad al-Majazi. That when Ibrahim alayhi salam said the idol did it, it's just like an employer who dismisses an employee due to betrayal, due to non-performance. And after termination of duty, what does the employer say? I didn't dismiss you, you dismissed yourself. A student who was non-compliant, which results in his expulsion, you expelled yourself. He's like, what do you mean I expelled myself? I'm begging you to enroll me. Why must I expel myself? Well, your action resulted in your expulsion. And this is precisely the metaphorical reference Ibrahim made. This idol did it, meaning this idol provoked me to do it. Now, what's the Arabic, what's the English proverb? When the debate is lost, then slander becomes the tool of the loser. When the debate is lost, then slander becomes the tool of the loser. And in Arabic they say, آخر سهمٍ في كنانة الملوك. The last arrow in a king's quiver is, I will kill you. Oops, look at the time. I haven't even gone on to the life of Ismail alayhi salam. Anyway, now what they do, let's catapult him into a fire. So they drop him into the fire. Look at the 20th juz of the Quran. فَمَا كَانَ جَوَابَ قَوْمِهِ إِلَّا أَنْ قَالُ قُتُلُوهُ أَوْ حَرِّقُوهُ فَأَنْجَاهُ اللَّهُ مِنَ النَّارِ. They prepare this fire and they throw Ibrahim and they catapult him into the fire. But this is an amazing explanation in Surah Ankabut in Tafsir Uthmani. They hurl him into the fire. It can be quite a daunting exercise if you want to, you know what, flog someone or hit someone and you're trying to inflict injury and that person is smiling at you. You know, as a teacher, sometimes you want to show and a youngster is giving you a straight look. So it can be quite an uncomfortable where you want to flex your muscle and he's got a bit of more clout. So you're showing your might and he's smiling and the kids are having a good laugh. You throw Ibrahim into the fire and he's like, thank you, brother. It's lovely. I'm having a good time, man. But look at the steadfastness of a Nabi. After they do what they wanted to, they exhausted, they depleted, he comes out of the fire. The Quran says, 20th Jews, may Allah give us steadfastness. وَقَالَ إِنَّمَا اتَّخَذْتُم مِّن دُونِ اللَّهِ أَوْثَانًا مَوَدَّةَ بَيْنِكُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. He resumes the dialogue of Tawheed, which had started before him being hurled into the fire, which resulted to him being hurled. As soon as he came out, he said, continuing with that discussion that I was telling you people that you mustn't worship idols. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. You know, you say, no, leave them now. They want to burn me now. Now it's all right. We must move out. No, no. And Nabi continued his mission. May Allah give us that strength. Coming back to the focus of honesty, you might ask, how do we achieve honesty? Well, the simple answer is, my brother, stay with honest people. Break away from groups and networks and social networks where people lie, where it's a norm to lie. You come home, you lie to your wife. You go to work, you lie at job. You speak lies throughout your days. Break away from such people. The incident of the Quran loudly explains this here. Tabuk. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam exhorted the Sahaba to come in their numbers. And they come. There were five categories. Those Sahaba who responded immediately. There was a group of Sahaba who were hesitant and subsequently obliged. الذين اتبعوه في ساعة العسرة من بعد ما كاد يزيغ قلوب فريق منهم. Then there was a third group of Sahaba who did not participate, but they were excused. They didn't have funds, they didn't have means. Then there was the fourth group of Sahaba, 10 Sahaba, not 3, 10. Many people think there were only 3. That is Hilal bin Umayyah, Murara bin Rabi, and Ka'b bin Malik. They were 3 whose tawbah was put on hold, but there were 10 in total. وَآخَرُونَ اَعْتَرَفُوا بِذُنُوبِهِمْ خَلَتُوا عَمَلًا صَالِحًا. When the Nabi of Allah returned, and this is key, my brother, my focus from the life of Ibrahim is honesty. When they returned from Tabuk, then Allah Ta'ala forewarned Nabi Sassam, the munafiqeen are going to come, and they're going to make a host of lies to you. Tell them, we don't want to listen to your lies. And oh Muhammad Sassam, and oh the believers, even if they thrill you, and even if they impress you with your lies, and you get happy, I am still not happy with them. Remember my brother, you can convince, no, I took a qasam, I said this to my partner, I said this to my boss, I said this, wallah, I held the Quran, and I convinced him. The Quran said, فَإِن تَرْضَوْ عَنْهُمْ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَرْضَى عَنِ الْقَوْمِ الْفَاسِقِينَ. Those who speak lies, regardless of how you hoodwink or veil people, you can go to bed knowing your Allah is unhappy with you. That's the unequivocal declaration of the Quran. So when they returned, 3 Sahaba, 7 had repented immediately, 3 had repented subsequently. Their tawbah was put on hold momentarily. Ultimately, their tawbah was accepted. But when Allah accepted their tawbah, Allah gave them an injunction. Allah said, I have accepted your tawbah, but now in future, I want you to be with honest people. In future, I want you to stay with honest people. I want you to sit with truthful people. Why? I've wrapped up your tawbah, I've accepted your tawbah. And when Ka'b radiallahu anhu was performing the Fajr prayer, after 50 nights had lapsed, حَتَّى كَمُلَ لَنَا خَمْسِينَ لَيْلًا. And we ask Allah to bless us with that moment. And he says, I was in sajda. And I heard someone saying, أَبْشِرْ يَا كَعْبْ بِخَيْرِ يَوْمٍ مَرَّ عَلَيْكَ مُنْذُ وَلَدَتْكَ أُمُّكَ. Ka'b, you couldn't have a greater day. 3 minutes, oops. Ka'b, you won't have a greater day than this day. And that is, Allah has blessed you with forgiveness and Allah has accepted your tawbah. And that was the day Allah accepted it. Now, why did Allah tell them to stay with the truthful? Two explanations given amongst other, owing to the lack of time, I will restrict myself to this two. What is it? The motivation why Allah said, sit with the honest people. The first explanation given, those sahaba that were genuine and sincere and honest, but did not participate. There's a subtle reference in this ayah. Your non-participation was due to closeness and proximity with liars. Because you sat with these munafiqeen in some capacity, it had a negative spin on your life. And that's how you also stayed behind. Otherwise, you are sincere, my sahaba. You are truthful. But you're hanging around inadvertently. The sahaba were too pure. You were hanging around with people who lie and they distort. For them, lying is a trait. They pride themselves with lies. So in future, disassociate. Break away from liars. Those who live a life of lie and distort and corruption. And the second thing is, remember, you were rescued because of your honesty. Ka'b radiallahu anhu said, إِنَّمَا أَنْجَانِ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى بِالصِّدْقِ وَإِنَّ مِنْ تَوْبَتِي أَلَّا أُحَدِّثَ إِلَّا صِدْقًا. That Allah rescued me, ultimately, it was because of honesty. In the end, look here, I went through a tough period. What they say in English, lies is like a painkiller. It gives you peace for the moment, but it damages your pancreas and it kills your kidneys. And speaking the truth is like a surgery. It's a painful procedure. But ultimately, you recover from your surgery. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us with this quality of honesty that was found in the life of Ibrahim alayhi salam. In the life of Ismail, I wanted to speak on the quality, as the Quran said, صادق الوعد, that he was a man who honored his word, but time has not allowed us. On the note of Qurbani, I leave you with a reflection, and then I conclude inshallah, and then the prayer will commence. We hear the verse often, لَيَنَالَ اللَّهَ لُحُومُهَا وَلَا دِمَاغُهَا وَلَكِنْ يَنَالُهُ التَّقْوَى مِنْكُمْ. A verse of the 17th Juz Surah Hajj. Allah says the blood, the flesh, the meat of the animal doesn't reach Allah, but it is the sincerity of your heart. This is my humble explanation that I often give in my talks and in my lessons. And I share it with you here. A father takes his kids out. Let's go. Nowadays it's difficult because each one is on himself. But anyway, let's assume the family is all together. Boys hop in the car, we're going out. Off goes the dad. Okay, it's a day out. What would you like? You want a candy? Here's a candy. You like a chocolate? Lovely. You want an ice cream? Wonderful. The dad buys for each one what they want. They hop into the car and the dad's driving back. And he's like, okay, who's going to give me a bit of a chocolate? I just want to have a bite. Or can I indulge in the ice cream? And that one is like, oh, my ice cream is finished. My chocolate is not so tasty. And the other one is, oh, dad, you don't need a snack. Take the whole packet, man. Take the whole packet. And the dad is like, listen, my kids, I don't need to ask you. I bought it for you. If I wanted, I could buy another one. I don't need to ask you. Well, hang on, my Allah is saying, I don't need your flesh. I don't need your cow. I don't need your sheep. I don't need your lamb. You belong to me. Your money belongs to me. The animal belongs to me. I only wanted to see which child responded. When I said, who's giving me? The one said, yeah, from me. May Allah give you more, my baby. I don't want. I bought it for you. Allah is saying, لَنْ يَنَالَ اللَّهَ لُحُمُهَا وَلَا دِمَاءُهَا. When I said slaughter, I just wanted to see who springs up. Allah, I'm up. I'm ready. I'm doing it. Oh, okay. Keep it yourself. Slaughter it. Feed the poor people. I'm happy. That's all my allowance to see. أَنْفِقُوا مِنْ طَيِّبَاتِ مَا كَسَبْتُمْ أَنْفِقُوا مِنْ طَيِّبَاتِ مَا كَسَبْتُمْ وَمِمَّا أَخْرَجْنَا لَكُمْ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ. I'm doing you a favor to accept. Have the courtesy to give me the best. Allah inspire us all. وَصَلِّ اللَّهُمَّ وَسَلِّمْ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا.